produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to Love, Light, and Positivity. And this is Imaja Jubilee. And I bet y'all can't guess where I am. I am in Chase City, Virginia. And no matter where I am in the world, whether it's Spain, Richmond, Virginia, the same is still true. You have just landed in love. Love above you, love below you, and love all around you. And most of all, you have love in your heart that emanates that Christ spirit from wherever you are. Just be in the love. Allow the love to just wrap you up and allow God to just be who God is in your life. And I want to welcome you to this show, because you know we started a series to give you tools in order to deepen your relationship with God. And in our last show, we talked about prayer. So this show is a continuation of that. Only this time we're going to have music integrated into what we are saying, and we're going to be blessed by having Reverend Marvin Harris, by the way, who he's my cousin, my first cousin, and we're going to talk to him about prayer and about his life. And just all of you listeners in wherever you're in Africa and all over the world, no matter where you go, prayer is a tool And we all are one under the divine. We all are brothers and sisters. So as I said, we're sitting right here in Chase City, Virginia. So let's take a breath together to unite us. Breath is life. And life is movement. And life is about being the best that you can be. Life is about embodying the Christ spirit, and life is about being a living example. So breathe in that, and that breath will connect us.
Amen.
And now I would like to introduce you to my cousin, the Reverend Marvin Harris, and he's the pastor of the Berean Baptist Church in Chase City, Virginia, and he's been there for 6 years. And he's also pastor of the New Light Baptist Church, Skipway, Virginia, for the past 15 years. And he's married to his beautiful, lovely wife, Brenda. They have 4 kids, and they also have 4 great grandkids as well. And also, one of Reverend Harris's greatest passion is music. And he's going to bless you all today with some music. He's a recording artist, and he's also a songwriter. And one of the things that him and his wife love to do for recreational activity, they love to bowl. Isn't that great? A couple that ministers to people wherever they go, but they also know how to come together and have fun.
Amen.
So we're so glad to have Reverend Harris with us today. And Reverend Harris, welcome to my show.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for doing this. And now I want you to tell us who you are. In your own way. Tell us who you are.
Many times in my life, I've come through the storm and rain.
All right, okay.
Time after time in my life, oh yeah, I've overcome heartaches and pain, and here's the reason why. Prayer makes a difference, yes it does. When it comes through by faith,
all right,
I do believe prayer changes things.
Thank you, wonderful prayer.
Thank you.
And that's our subject. You know, we've been talking about prayer and the different types of prayer. And as I promised my listeners, last time we talked about intercessors and how other people pray for you and the role that prayer plays in your life, no matter where you are and what you're going through.
Amen, amen.
So, Reverend Harris, tell us the role that prayer has played in your life.
Amen. Well, I think one of the biggest roles that prayer have played is not just when I was praying, but when others were praying for me.
All right.
I think that's one of the biggest roles, because in time that I really wasn't looking out for myself spiritually, I knew that grandma and then my aunts and my granddaddy, they were on their knees praying for Bro Harris.
Yeah.
And I do believe I avoided a lot of tragedies by somebody else praying with me until I learned the fullness of what prayer was all about.
So what gave you the desire to do what you do? What gave you the desire? When did you find out that this is what you wanted to do as a minister?
Well, I told many people, when I used to go to church, to Cedar Grove Community Church, I was fascinated with preaching. With reading the Bible. I never told my friends, but I could listen to sermons all day long. And I used to get into my Uncle Sherman's yard, and I actually used to preach to his dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
And and would be having the time. I guess if people rode down the road, they would think I was going crazy or something. But later in life, I felt the call of God I was asking him what was his will in my life.
Yes.
And I didn't want to go into the ministry on my own excitement, but I wanted God to show me was that his will. And he showed me clearly through visions and dreams that this was his will for me to do. And that was back in 1989.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And you know, you were talking about, you know, you, my mother and our aunts, Unlieva Kern and Aunt E.Z. Elam, mm-hmm. I have to make sure I get it right.
Mm-hmm.
They were great influences, as well as, you know, our grandfather played the guitar and he sang as well. He had a beautiful voice as well. And that played a role also because my grandmother, Violet Harris, mm-hmm. Violet Lambert Harris,
right.
She was the first woman that I heard pray in Cedar Grove, the church you just mentioned, because I had never heard a woman pray out in public.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you were saying, she prayed for us even before she knew that we were. She prayed for you because I was already born.
Amen.
And you weren't here at that time. But she prayed for the generations to come, as well as for our uncles, because of the life that they were leading. She asked God to protect them and to just surround them with his angels as they went about living this loose life that they
Amen.
Were living.
Amen.
So they played a great role to influence us, and I can see what is carried forth in you as well as with me.
Amen.
Now, I'm not a minister, but I do have a ministry.
Amen.
And you Amen. Pastor this great congregation here in Chase City, Virginia. So tell me, what is your favorite scripture, and how do you integrate it into your life?
My favorite scripture is Psalms 50 and 15. It says that in that day of trouble, call upon the Lord, and he will deliver you, and ye shall glorify him. And I found out, Sister Imaji, that a lot of us, we only go to God when we're in trouble, when we want something.
Only pray when you want something, right?
And after we receive from God, we forget to even thank him and forget how he has blessed us. I've always learned through that scripture that when God blesses me, to me, to always give him praise. And he was saying something before about my aunts. Two of them in particular, my Aunt Marie and my Aunt Lieva.
Aunt Marie, Marie is my mother, by the way.
Amen. It's two things that they always did that influenced me. Two things, and one of them was they would chastise you, and then right behind that, they would encourage you.
Okay, what a combination.
I always
what thought, a combination.
You know, amen. Yes. And at the time, I was living a loose life. I didn't really want to hear it. But I remembered it as life went on. They always gave us an encouraging word that the Lord can get you through anything, that you can be anything that you want to be. So they were two of my greatest influences. They got me into the singing. My three aunts you just mentioned had the best harmony of any professional group that I have ever heard. That
yep.
was amazing.
Yep. That was great. They were great influences. And I know my mother was a praying woman as
Amen.
Well.
Amen.
And she would pray over her string bean vines, and she would have string beans when nobody else had them.
Amen.
She took
Amen.
In stray dogs and cats, or she'd wake up early in the morning, wiping at the kitchen sink, looking out the window. She'd be praying and talking to God.
Amen.
So how should people integrate prayer into their life? How should they do it? Suppose they don't know how to pray. What do they do then?
I think that it's a scripture, I believe it's Romans, the 8th chapter, about the 26th verse, that we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. Even if we don't know how to pray, God already knows what we're trying to say. And I think that prayer should be just as much of a daily part of our life as getting up to eat breakfast.
That is so, isn't it true?
Amen, several times. And prayer is so much more than talking to God, but prayer can be a request made to God. It can be thanking God, and I have found in my personal life that prayer brings about praise. While I'm praying, I think the prayer brings you more to the presence of God.
More to the presence of God. I like that, because one of the things that I learned from Grandma's prayer, going mm-hmm. back to Grandma Violet's prayer, she used to say before she knows. When she put her foot on the floor, that I thank God for. It could have been the other way.
Amen.
And then I could have been. I never used to sing that song. Could have been dead and buried in my grave, mm-hmm. right? But Grandma would put that in there for the breath that I can now put my feet on the floor, and that I'm not laid out on a cooling board. That was one of her lines in her prayer.
Amen.
You remember anybody? You remember that line in people's prayer about being laid out on a cooling board?
Oh yes. And another thing, Sister Margie, my Aunt Marie and my Aunt Lieva, They used to always say this word, and I didn't understand back then, my secret closet.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, what in the world is a secret closet? And it was involving prayer. It was that place that you go to where it's just you and God, and everything else is out of mind and out of sight, where you can feel that one-on-one contact with God. And it took me a while to learn what that secret closet was, but and young kids, they still don't understand what that is.
And then, too, you know, a mother of them called it, they had prayer warriors. You remember that? They had prayer warriors? Yeah, there were prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. And they would pray. Them sisters get together and they'd be praying for you, and nothing could go wrong when them sisters
Amen.
Get together.
Amen.
You know? And there was a movie a few years back that was very popular. Because, you know, a lot of times people don't put together movies about prayer and Christian themes to them. But there was this older lady who had a closet, her prayer closet.
Yes, yes.
That they would go pray. They would go praying. Because I think it's something she would talk about, some scriptures were praying in secret. Mm-hmm. Because the Pharisees prayed and showed everything all out in public,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told him, you know, you didn't that was not a part of it. You can pray in secret.
Amen, amen.
So sometimes we have to pray. Not out so somebody can just say, oh, they are praying people.
Amen.
You pray in your secret closet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my mother continued to get on her knees.
Amen. Amen.
You know?
Amen.
As a way of submission and
Amen.
Acknowledging the reverence to God.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is a gem that you would like to leave with people about prayer? Give us a little bit more explanation about prayer.
Well, prayer, there's so many different facets of prayer, but prayer should be personal.
Okay.
Prayer is public, but prayer is also personal.
Oh, yes.
I think that every man, woman should have a prayer life with God, something that develops and something that grows as you go along. I feel like that prayer should be a greater part of the church also, because church has gotten too traditional. And we, my aunt, your mother, would have said we need to go back to the old time way.
Okay.
And we don't, prayer is almost limited to just the church. What happened to the prayer teams that go out from house to house?
Yeah, right.
To the sick, to the needy, and have prayer. Sometimes prayer is more important than a material thing. You know, some people, their heart rejoices just to see somebody coming in to pray for them.
Yeah, and especially there used to be people that would go to the hospital.
Yes.
And then the other thing that you and I both grew up with, people would come to your house.
Yes.
You know, it not only in the hospitals, but a lot of women, the missionary circle, it was an extension of the missionary circle at Piney Grove Baptist Church.
Amen.
Where
Amen.
They would just go and see about someone. They'd take them some food or whatever, but they never left without praying.
Amen, amen. That's a very, very good point. As a minister and visiting a lot of our sick, whether it's the hospital or the homes, I always am mindful to leave with prayer. Always have prayer before I leave. Because when you pray, you're actually asking God to leave his blessings from whichever place you're at. Whether it's the hospital, whether it's the home, or whether it's the job. So, I would say this, parents, teach your kids at a very, very young age how to pray.
How to pray. So, what was the first prayer that you learned?
Then I lay me down to sleep.
That's it. I talked about that on my show yesterday.
Amen.
Now I lay me down to sleep, and God is great, God is good.
Amen.
Let us thank Him for our food,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You could not eat unless you said that prayer.
Right.
And then mom will come in at night, and you better get on your knees and say that prayer.
Amen.
And my brother John Ed, who was always going against the grain of things, he would tell us, we would pray. He said, y'all know the devil at the window. There's the devil at the window. And we'd be saying, we just now said our prayers.
Amen.
But he was, that's the kind of person that, but he would end up saying his prayers. So with all of that being said, would you give us another song? The song that our aunts used to sing and my mother. This is one of my favorite songs. And it's by the Angelic Gospel Singers. So we're gonna listen to some more music here. All right now. Okay, all right.
Pray for me. Please pray for me.
Okay, we got it going on.
Now when you bow down in the evening,
oh yeah,
well, then don't forget to say a prayer for me.
All right.
I know prayer.
All right. Tell it, tell it.
In the key to the kingdom.
All right, okay, okay.
I know faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will unlock the door.
Okay.
My body is weak. My health is failing.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't forget to say a prayer for me.
All right, I couldn't. Yeah, man. Hey, man, I couldn't help but sing it.
Sound good.
I couldn't help but sing it because I grew up with that song.
Amen.
And I grew up with my mother, Marita.
Right in.
That's right. That's
right.
Right in. You know, I learned that from them. You know what
Amen.
I'm saying? You talk about the harmony, how to come in with somebody.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So, listeners, we have been just so blessed to have Reverend Marvin Harris with her. And I have to say, my cousin is a very talented and gifted man of God, and he not only does he bring it to his congregation, but he lives it as well. You know, some Amen. Ministers Amen. I know they don't live it. You know, it stops when you leave out here and leave out the pulpit.
Amen.
So, Amen. What are your aspirations now? What do you aspire to do now beyond? What are your aspirations?
On employment side, I would like to be. I've worked with kids for quite a while. I would a mentor part-time, but I would like to mentor on a more full-time basis. And even talking about prayer, Sister Yumaja, my daughter is my boss.
Oh, okay.
And when she grew up, I prayed for her that she would come out on the top side. And I was, like young kids, I was worried, but she ended up starting her own company.
Uh-huh.
And I work for her. But I would like to be a full-time mentor. Even as a pastor, I would like to do more on a full-time basis.
Well, see, you know, that's what we, you know, you and I had a conversation about that earlier before we started mm-hmm. this, about how the ministry goes beyond the church.
Amen.
And a lot of people, you know, when Jesus traveled, he didn't have a building
Amen.
Like this, but he ministered to the blind, made the lame walk. He was in the community.
Amen.
And people have just taking it upon themselves for whatever reason that it stops once you leave out of here.
Amen. Amen.
And I know you're not a person that
Amen,
do that.
Amen.
And I think it's great that you are about mentoring people and you are about mentoring teenagers and that you still have aspirations because a lot of people stop. You know, they go somewhere and they wait for whatever they feel like they want to do, or they don't know what they want to do. They don't know what their purpose is.
Amen, amen, amen.
And see, you've known what your purpose was since you was 9 years old.
Amen. You know what? I feel like the devil, sometimes I feel like the devil literally peeks in your future and tries to block what God has for you to do. There's been a lot of, I've been through a lot of tragedies, desertion, heart attack.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But everything I ever prayed for, God always brought me through. And I teach people this about prayer. God won't always give you what you ask for, but he will always be with you in what you're going through.
Oh, that is great.
Amen. Amen.
God won't always give you what you ask of him, but he will always be there mm-hmm. to take you through. It's what I heard you say.
Amen. Amen.
Right, right.
He's always with you.
Yeah.
In every situation.
Well, I just thank you. Do you have another song that you can take us on out? Look, because this is so good. The music, could you have another song that you could just kind of take us on out?
I didn't know. God is able just to carry. Makes no difference. For the world, keep on trusting in Jesus. And everything
Yes, who carries the chariot? Trouble in my way.
Trouble in my way.
I have to cry sometimes.
I have to cry sometimes.
So much trouble.
Trouble in my way.
I have to cry sometimes.
I have to cry sometimes.
I lay awake at night.
I lay awake at night.
That's all right.
That's all right.
I know Jesus.
Jesus, he will fix it.
I know Jesus.
Jesus, he will fix it.
I know Jesus.
Jesus, he will fix it.
After a while.
Wow.
Sister Maya, you go ahead and start your second ministry.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Feel welcome again to this hour of divine connection on Finding My Way Radio. I am your host, Pastor Henry from Kenya. As you tune in today, I speak blessings and favor over and upon your life. Every minute spent in the presence of God is never in vain. May the good Lord favor you even more. Today, by the grace of God, I want to share a message titled, Rejection is direction. Rejection is direction. Many times when things happen or when anything happens negative, we always look at the bad or the negative side of it. But at least I've been considering and looking at things even from the positive or the good side of it. And I have come to realize that even when something was meant to destroy you, that thing, when you look at it from the positive or the good side of it, that thing has come to elevate you. That thing has come to promote you. That thing has come to enlarge you. That thing has come to promote you and even to unleash the potential or to discover something that was in you that has never been discovered. Many great discoveries or revivals have been done during the most trying times. This reminds me of during the book of Acts, when the disciples were very comfortable and then the persecution began. That is how they were able to get scattered all over the world, and they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is said that during the Great American Recession, that is when many millionaires were made. Rejection is one thing that adversely affects all of us in equal measure. I want us to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, and verses 53 to 58. And I want to read from King James Version, Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 to 58. The Bible says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Verses 58. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Rejection is direction. Now, we will be able to look at various examples in the Bible of men and women who, by being rejected, they were being given direction. And that is why I began by saying that when you look at the negative or anything that is happening to you in your life in a negative way, you will see more negative things. But when you look at that thing that is happening in your life from the positive side, you will be able to see many opportunities that are presenting themselves before you. And when you see the opportunities, you move with faith, you'll be able to realize the purpose, the power, and the potential that is in you. Jesus Christ is our first example, where we have just read in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, and from verses 53, the Bible says, "And Jesus Christ, when he had just finished these parables, he moved on from there and went to his hometown." But we know that when Jesus arrived in his hometown, not many people received him or were ready to listen and hear his message. And the Bible says that they began to say, "Is this not the son of Mary? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his brothers?" And we know them like John, James, Joseph, and others. "Don't you even know their sisters? Why is this that this man, we have seen him growing, but he can be able to do great miracles and teach in such a way with wisdom that we cannot be able to understand?" And the people did not receive Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "But Jesus Christ said unto them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor." And the Bible, and one of the things that really makes me sad, is that he did not perform many miracles in that city. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, verses 54, the Bible says, "His own town rejected his message. Not many miracles happened in that city. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son?" And that is exactly what people will always do. You may have grown up in a village. You may have grown up in a town. People know you even for your past mistakes, your past sins. And because of that, even when now you come a reformed person, you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you are born again, you are a child of God, and now God is using you, they will not be able to accept and be able to receive you. They will reject you. I remember when we got saved, one of the young men who got saved with us during that time, he used to mug people on the way at night. He used to steal from people. And when he got saved, nobody believed that this young man had gotten saved. In fact, I remember one time when he went to church, and when people saw him, they were keeping their things safe, because to them, they were looking at a thief, they were looking at a mugger, they were looking at a pickpocketer, they were looking at somebody who used to terrorize people along the road, stealing from them. But to us, this was now a brother who has gotten saved and he has given his life to Jesus Christ. And now he is desiring to pursue a different kind of life. And I thank God that yes, they rejected him, but up to date, that man is standing, witnessing Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation, when you read the Bible, it was not meant for the Gentiles. Just salvation was meant for the Jews. In the book of Romans, Paul says that this gospel was meant for the Jews. But because the Jews rejected it and the Gentiles embraced the gospel, that is how we became, or we were grafted into salvation, and we became children of God by the rejection of this gospel by the Jews. Many times, as the Bible says, many benefited by hearing and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Because to them, what they wanted to know and receive was what he was offering. But to others who rejected him, they were looking at his background, they were looking at his hometown, and they were looking at his family and saying nothing good can come out of Nazareth. Joseph is the second example of a man who was not received well by his brothers. The Bible said one time Joseph received a dream, and he saw his brothers bowing to him together with their family. And the Bible says he went and talked to his parents and his brothers and told them the dream that he had. But the Bible says when he had said that, even his own father said, "So you also want me to worship and even bow before you?" They did not want to have anything to do with him. His brothers, when the Bible says his father sent him to take food to them in a place called Shechem, the Bible says they were not there. They had gone to Dothan. And when they went to Dothan, now they said, here comes the dreamer. And they began to plot what we need to do with this dreamer. And the Bible says they put him in the pit. Of course, they wanted to kill him. But one person said, no, we can put him in the pit. And after some time, again, they continued to argue. They rescued, they delivered him from the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. From the Ishmaelites, Joseph was sold into Potiphar's house. And again, we understand what happened in Potiphar's house. Finally, when it was discovered, when the information came to Potiphar, Joseph was thrown into the prison for a crime that he never committed. In the prison, the Bible says he was put in charge of the other prisoners, and he found favor with the prison guard or the prison officer. And the Bible says a time came, two of the people who were imprisoned with him had dreams. One of them was a buckler, and the other one was a cupbearer. So the Bible says all of them gave their dreams, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. One of them was restored to his work, and the other one was killed. Of course, it was the cupbearer who was restored. But the other man who used to bake cakes and make meals for the king was killed. Now, Joseph had told the cupbearer that when you go before the king, please remember me. But this man again never remembered him. But one thing that I thank God for, people may not be able to remember you. People may reject you, but God will always remember you. God will always accept you. And that's why I thank God for salvation. God did not come asking us what we did. God just came asking us that I have come that we may have life and life in abundance. You could be there and you feel rejected. You could be there and you feel people do not want anything to do with you. I want to encourage you even this hour and this moment, just like Jesus Christ was rejected, but he went the whole world, the Bible saying, doing good, and he healed many, he delivered many, he rescued many, and he even resurrected many, and did great miracles by even feeding people. When people reject you, God will always prepare other people to be able to receive you. Joseph was rejected by his own household. But the Bible says, finally, when the king dreamt that he saw seven fat cows and seven thin cows, and the Bible says the seven thin cows were able to swallow the fat seven cows, and nobody was able to interpret the dream. Finally, the cupbearer remembered that there was a Jewish boy, a Jewish man in the prison, and when we were there, all of us had dreams, and my dream was interpreted, and that's how I was restored back to my work. And when he told the king sent for Joseph immediately, and the Bible says he was given a royal apparel, and Joseph was shaven, and he took a shower, and he came before the king, and when the king spoke, Joseph said, let me inquire from my God, and he will give me the interpretation. And of course, God gave him the interpretation. And when the king heard about the interpretation of the dream, he said, now, where can we find a man who is full of wisdom and knowledge so that he can be able to do exactly what you have said? And Joseph was chosen to be the second in command in Egypt and in a foreign country. When people reject you, look at what God is doing in your life. The giftings that are in you, the potential that is in you, that is exactly what God is going to use, even to bring you to higher places. The Bible says, when a man washes his hands, he will be able to sit with the kings and dine with the kings. When you find favor with God, you will find favor with men. And that is what you need to be seeking for every day, every time in your life. Because the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 1 and verses 52 that Jesus Christ found favor both with God and with men. The problem in our time, The problem in our seasons, the problem in our generation, we are seeking for favors from men. And when you seek men's favor, you may not, or it may not usher you into direct favor with God. But when you seek God's favor, you will be directly ushered into favor with men. Therefore, I want to encourage you, I want to urge you today, find favor with God. You may be listening to me, and your life is not right with God, make it right with God. Because when I find favor with God, I will be able to find favor with every other person. Because God's authority supersedes man's authority. One of the men that I read in the Bible, and I just love his story, is Jephthah. In the book of Judges, and that is chapter 11, Judges chapter 11, Jephthah, the Bible says, was born by a prostitute. And his brothers, who are the legitimate children to the father, chased him away. And they said, you are not part and parcel of us because you are born by a prostitute. Now, that is not a very good report. But one thing I also thank God for is the word of God. That Rahab, a prostitute, is mentioned even in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But let us go back to the book of Judges, chapter 11, and from verses 1. And the Bible says, Jephthah the Gilead was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. You are not going to get any inheritance in our family, they said, because you are the son of another woman. So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a group of adventurers gathered around him and followed him. Verse 6, which I really love. Verses 4, sometime later, when the Ammonites made war on Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Come, verse 6, which I love, they said, be our commander so we can fight the Ammonites. Now you can read up to verses 11 so that you can be able to understand. Jephthah is born by a prostitute, which is regarded as a social outcast. There is no child, when you tell them your mother is a prostitute or your mother was a prostitute, it does not go well. Because any prostitute in the society is considered to be an outcast. But the Bible says Jephthah was a mighty warrior. He was well versed in battles or in war. And the Bible says a time came when the Ammonites made war against the Israelites. And because there was no good man or a warrior to fight against the Ammonites, the elders of Gilead went to look for Jephthah. Let me tell you today, the people who are rejecting you today, tomorrow they will come to look for you. When finally you find a financial breakthrough in your life, when finally your business takes shape and your company increases and grows, and now people are looking for employment, the very people who rejected you, they are the very, very people who will come looking for you, seeking that you may be able to help them get employed in your very own company. Or you may become a man of influence in the government or in your position. And when you become a man of influence, the very, very people who rejected you were the very, very people again who are going to look for you so that you can give them favors concerning what they are going through. I have even seen people who are rejected, but when they prospered, now when there was famine in a particular area, the very, very people were asked, please, can you buy us food so that you can distribute to the people so that people may not be able to die? Jephthah was born by a prostitute. But the same Jephthah was a mighty warrior. When the Gileads faced the Ammonites and they were unable to fight against them, they went looking for the very man they rejected. Let me speak prophetically into your life and declare that the people who are rejecting you, they will come looking for you in Jesus' name. The people who are considering you as a misfit, as an outcast, somebody who cannot be able to make it, I want you to trust in the Lord. The Bible says the Lord God made you and he called you by his name, or he calls you by his name. And I can assure you, If your life is right with God, if your relationship is well with God, the very, very people who are rejecting you, they will come seeking for your favors. They will come seeking for your help. They will come asking that you may show them favor. And indeed, that is what God is able to do, even in our lives. There was a man born blind in the book of John chapter 9, verses 34 to 38. The Bible says, this man was born blind and he was cast out. But one day, this man met Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ made him whole, or he made him to be well, and he was able to see. When they met him, they began to ask, who made you well? And he said, I met a man who made some mud on the from the soil, and he put on my eyes, and that's why I'm now able to see. And they began to question even the parents, and they began to say, this man, who healed this man? Was this man his sins, or whose sin was it? But I thank God for Jesus Christ, because when Jesus Christ met this man, he said, I am the man, or I'm the one who healed you. And this man believed in him, and he became one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. The very man they were rejecting, that he was healed, and yet the man probably who healed him was a sinner. The very, very man became a disciple of Jesus Christ. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, verses 20 to 21, 2 Kings, chapter 13, verses 20 to 21, we find a man who is being buried, rejected. Now, this man, the Bible says, he was thrown in the grave where Elisha had been buried. And because of the power that was in Elisha's life, the Bible says this man, because the others wanted to run away when they saw other people attacking them, they threw this man in that grave. And the Bible says when that man fell in that grave where Elisha had been buried, he came back to life. Jesus Christ is able to bring back to life even that thing that looks like being rejected. The four lepers in the book of 2 Kings, the Bible says they had been rejected. They had been thrown away outside the gates. But a time came and there was famine in the land. And they said, if we live here, we shall die. If we stay here, we will die. If we go into the city, we'll die. But let us go into the Syrian camp. If they kill us, that is okay. And if we survive, that would be okay. And the Bible says, as they began to move, God caused their steps to thunder like a great army. And the Bible says, the Assyrian army took off. The men came into the Assyrian camp. They ate food and they took the same report back to the Israel army, or to Samaria. And the people came and they found food and they were able to eat. The very, very people that were rejected were the very, very people who saved a city or that nation, because they brought back report that there is food in the Assyrian camp. Please come, let us eat. Last but not least, we find a man called David. David was rejected by his brothers. We remember when David was given food by his father Jesse to take to his brothers, and they found them fighting against the Philistines. The Philistines were on the other side of the valley, and the Israelites were on the other side of the valley, and Goliath was in the middle of the valley, and he was blaspheming the God of Israel. And David said, who is this man that is blaspheming the God of the army of Israel? And the Bible says, when his brothers heard that David was there, they asked him, with whom did you leave even the few sheep with? Many times, the people reject you. They may look at you and not see anything good. But I want to tell you, there is something good in you. Look unto God. Trust in the Lord. Believe in God. And that God has put in you, it will come to pass. I want to pray together with you today. You may have been rejected, either even at your place of work, even in business. Sometimes even the worst of worst is when we get rejected in our marriages and in our families. I want to pray together with you that we may find favor with God. And when you find favor with God, you will find favor with men. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray with my listener right now. I may not be able to know the kind of rejection they are going through right now, but Father, whatever kind of rejection they are going through right now, I pray in Jesus' name that let them find favor with you. And when they find favor with you, they will be able to find favor with men. Lord, some of them have been rejected at their place of work. Lord, some of them have been rejected in their marriages. Lord, some of them have been rejected even in their families. Lord, I declare today that in the name of Jesus Christ, may they find favor with you. I pray as they find favor with you, they will find favor with men in Jesus' name. Are you there? You are listening to me and you're not born again. I just want you to surrender your life to Jesus, because when we have given our lives to Jesus, when we are born again, we have become children of God. I can tell you, the Bible says, a mother may forget the children she gave birth. A mother may forget the children she nursed, but the Lord God will never forget you. Just repeat this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, today I accept you as Lord and Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me to live a victorious Christian life. Now you are born again. If you have made that prayer, look for a Bible believing church and identify with them. Tell them now you're born again, and now they help you to live a Christian life. I decree, where you have been rejected, you will be accepted. Where people have looked down on you, you are receiving favor and grace. And the very, very people who rejected you, they are the very, very people again who are coming to ask for your favor, because the Lord God has favored you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, listeners all over the world. My name is Reverend Anthony Hunter Sunguti from Kenya, co-founder of Revelation of Healing and Repentance Ministry. I welcome all my listeners around the world and all those who are listening to Finding My Way radio program, US / World, to this wonderful message. My theme of today's message is that you will raise up again. You are going to raise up again, no matter what you are going through. So I want to take you through some Bible verses where we are going to realize how God is so faithful unto us, and you will realize that whatever you are going through, God is also with you. I want to read from the Bible, the book of Job 14, verse 7 to 9. And the Bible says, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout up again, and its new shoots will not fail. Verse 8 says, its roots may grow old in the ground and stump high in the soil. Number 9 says, yet at the scent of water, it will part and put forth shoots like a plant. My dear brethren, those listening around the world, I want to tell you, we serve a mighty God. And he says that there is hope. I'm talking about one character by the name of Job. Job had all that every man would desire to have. He had the best family. He had so many herds of cattle. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of camel. He had a lot of every animal that any other person would desire to. Job had one of the best families in the world. But there came a time when the devil seek permission from God. If you read from Job chapter 1, verse 6, verse 7, the Bible says the devil seek permission to pursue Job and destroy whatever he had. And at a point, God tells him, can you go and destroy everything, but please spare his heart or life? And the devil says, if you had not blessed him and you have put a hedge on his belongings, So even the devil knows that it's only God who can place you. And the devil also understands that it's God who can place you. So he tells God, if you are giving me permission, Job is only praising you. Job is only worshiping you because you have blessed him, because you have put protection on his belongings. You have put protection on his riches. But God gives him a permission and say, go and do whatever you want, but please don't touch his heart. I want to speak to somebody at one point. You might be suffering under some strange disease. You might be undergoing some strange situations where you feel you are the only one having that problem. I want to encourage you, the devil will seek permission from Almighty God just to torment, just to destroy whatever you have built. But one thing I want you to be sure, that when God gives a permission to the devil, you will not be destroyed. You will not be completely destroyed. God will reserve your life. God will reserve all your mind. And he's going to give you rest. We see at one point, Job lost everything. And it became in us a shock. Because as the Bible says, the things that Job was owing, they all were destroyed by the devil in a sequence. And when you read the Bible carefully, when he was being reported about one disaster, when the servant is yet to live, another servant will come in and tell him, you have lost this and that. But one thing I want to speak about Job, Job fell down and said, this is not strange. I rejoice, and he said, I rejoice in the Lord. Naked I came, naked will I go. Glory be his name. So we see a man who trusted God, even in his time of calamity, even in hard times, he was still praising his God. I don't know why you keep up so fast. I don't know why you lament so fast. I don't understand why you are complaining so fast. I want you to be like Job. Whether you are destroyed, whether everything that you own will be destroyed by the devil, our Almighty God will restore you. Job had so much peace at his mind, had so much peace at heart, because he trusted his God and he knew the God he was serving. That's why the Bible says, at that time he fell down and said, naked I came, naked will I come. And along the line, we see Job losing even his wife. He lost even the best friends he had. Even the families rejected him. Oh, I want to tell you, my dear brother, my dear sister, whoever you are listening unto this message, I want to tell you, my theme is, you will raise up again. Job never gave up. Job never gave into their pressure to submit unto their court. He remained steadfast. He remained faithful to his God. For he knew at one time, one point, he's going to raise up again. Job had trust in God. Job believed in God. He said, whatever happens, as the Bible says in Romans, that what will separate me from the love of my God. I want to tell you, whatever you are going through, don't give up. Just praise God. No matter the situation you are facing, no matter the situation that you are undergoing, I want to tell you, whatever you're suffering from is not new. It has happened to somebody else. For the Bible says God will not tempt us to the point that we cannot manage. He will always make a door for us. And Job had trusted in these verses. And he was sure that God is going to make a way where there is no way. That's why he says there is hope for a tree. If it is cut, it will sprout out again. He knew his life will come back again. He knew his family will come back again. He knew all his belongings will come back again. No matter what people told him, he remained steadfast. I want to tell you, if there is somebody who really suffered even strange disease, it was Job. But because of his trust in God, The Bible says we might have looked at Job from the physical point of view and we would have condemned him. We would have told him to curse his God. All the same, we would have told him it's better to die. But I want to tell you, from deep inside Job's heart, Job had a lot of joy despite the boils which were on physical body, despite the pain that people would see with the physical eye. I want to say Job was at peace with himself. He was at peace with his God, for he knew he was serving a mighty God. He knew he was serving a healer. He knew he was serving a God of prosperity. He was serving a God who was faithful. And that's why he was telling his friends, even if you desert me, I want to tell you today that there is hope. Even if a tree is gone, it will sprout up again. You wanna sprout up again. I don't know what you're suffering from. Maybe your marriage is at ring of breaking out. Maybe your children are out of school because of school fees. Maybe you are out of job. Maybe you are out of sickness. It might be different kinds of sickness. When you healed, another sickness comes up. Maybe it's jobless or it's really part of your life. Maybe it's barrenness of your womb, that things are not working to your way. Maybe your business is about to collapse. I have good news to you, that there is hope. Even if a tree is cut, it will sprout up again. I want to speak to that business. I'm speaking to your business. I want to tell your business will sprout up again. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep holding unto Almighty God. He is a faithful God. He knows you well. Just stop complaining, but give praise unto his name. That marriage will never break. I want to tell you, your marriage will still survive because God is faithful. God is going to turn around your marriage. God is going to turn around your life from jobless to a big job. He's going to turn around your business. He want to turn around your sickness into healing, and you're going to sing songs of joy. Just like Job, he says in Job 42, that I know you can do all things and your plans cannot be thwarted. You know, Job trusted God 100%. He never had doubt that I'm going to stand up again. I don't know why or what is still pulling you down. I want to tell you, raise up again. Raise up from that poverty. Raise up from that sickness. Raise up from that barrenness. Raise up from that spiritual stagnation. Raise up from that relationship. For you serve a mighty God. I want to speak a word of deliverance. I want to speak a word of prosperity. No matter what you are going through, may it be generation curses. Our God is faithful to break every curse. May it be marine spirits that are attacking your life. I want to tell you, we serve a mighty God, like Job said. Oh, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Don't give up, don't give up. Hey, just like Job said, that I want to know my God, my deliverer liveth. So your God lives, and he's living to make sure that you are going to be delivered. He's living to make sure that your kids will go back to school. He's living to make sure that you will prosper. When people are failing, your life will not fail. When people are crying, you want to love. I want to tell you this, no matter what you are going through, just remain steadfast with God. Just remain faithful unto him. And Job says, there is hope. Don't listen to your friends. They might have cut you off. They might have told you you'll never make it. When a tree is cut off, oh, we think it's over. But by the smell of water, Job says, yet by the scent of water, it will part and put forth shoots like a plant. I want to tell you, by the scent of prayer, by the scent of prayer, your marriage is waking up. By the scent of prayer, your life is coming back. By scent of prayer, whatever they thought is dead, I am speaking unto it. It is not dead, but it's going to sprout up again. You will rise up again. I am saying you rise up again. By the scent of a prayer, by scent of prayer, you are going to be back to your life. Your business kids will bloom again. Your kids will do good in school. They say our kids are heads or tails. I speak anointing unto them. I speak anointing unto your marriage. By the word of God, your life is going to turn around. Don't give up. Don't give up. For Job says, I know you can do all things. Hallelujah. I know people might have despised you. People might have even ran away from you because you lost your job. They might have just called you names because you are a beggar. Because of your poor, they call you names because of your poverty. Because of the situation you are facing, they might have gone new ways. Some of them are not even picking your calls just because they think you are going to pay. I'm speaking to you this afternoon that we serve a mighty God. Remain steadfast unto God. For Job knew one thing. For the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 6, be it says like clay in the potter's hands, so you are in my hands. Job knew he was in God's hands, and God is creator of everything. So he knew whatever is lost, it will be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. I am speaking to somebody who is giving up. I'm speaking to a business which is almost closing up. I'm speaking to that disease which is putting you down. I'm talking to those people. It may be witchcraft, may it be sorcery that is pulling you down. Maybe even curses that are booting you down. It might be spiritual damages that have done into your life. Now you are on the verge of giving in. I want to say, don't give up. Like clay in potter's hands, so you are in God's hands. God can mold you back to something. God can mold you back to something. Oh, I say, God can mold you back to something. Stop listening to the voices of people who are discouraging you. Stop listening to them. Those who are telling you are not make it. In the mighty name of Jesus, God can mold you into that thing that you desire to be. God can mold you into that dream you have always desired. God can mold you into that person that even those distracting your marriage, those distracting your mind, those distracting your business, oh, wouldn't understand, because God is almighty. He's working on your marriage. He's working on your business. He's working on your finance. He's working on your spiritual life. Stop complaining. That marriage, that relationship, God is working on your family. No matter what you are going through, I want to speak a word of prosperity. That ministry will not fail. God is working on it. It will raise up again. It will raise up again. I repeat, it will raise up again. Because like clay in potter's hands, so you are to God. And God is not a man or son of man to lie. He is a faithful God. He raised Job from dust. He raised Job from nothing to something. He restored Job's joy. He restored Job's happiness. He restored Job's hori babasa. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people have given unto you, what people have spoken against your life, what people have spoken against your ministry, what people have spoken against your business. What I know, we have a God in heaven, and there is hope that for a tree, if it is cut, it will sprout up again. You are everything that was cut off. It will sprout. This is a day of restoration. This is a message of restoration. No matter what you are going through, just hold on to God. Just trust God like Job did. He trusted God with all his heart, with all his mind. No matter his body was itching, no matter his soul was at pain, but he never left his side. He never left his watch on God. And the Bible says, another reference in Micah 7:8, the Bible says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
I know people have been talking ill about you. I know they have despised you. I know your enemies are celebrating for what you are going through. But I want to tell you, Micah tells us, oh, don't gloat over me, my enemy. I might have been fallen. I might have fallen. My business might be at the verge of falling. My marriage might be at the point of breaking up. My finances, my spiritual life. Oh, I might be going through under hard times, but don't gloat over me. For though I have fallen, I will raise. Micah says, I will raise. It doesn't matter where you have fallen. It doesn't matter how many times you have fallen. I want to tell you, the Bible says in Psalms, righteous might fall 7 times, but God will raise him up all the 7 times. So it doesn't matter what you are going through. What I know is that you will raise up again. You will raise up again. That marriage will raise up again. Your business will rise up again. Your spiritual life will not die. It is going to raise up again. It might have just fallen, but it's going to raise up again. Though I sit in darkness, God will be my light. God is your light. Whatever you are undergoing, that sickness, it is like darkness, but I'm speaking healing because God is your light. Don't give up. Don't give up. It doesn't matter. May it be diabetes, AIDS, or whatever. Oh, it's just a name. The Bible says these sicknesses are just names, but when God intervenes, when God is your light, when God is your healer, when God is in charge, nothing is impossible. And the Bible says the latter days of Job were more joyous, more happy than the first days. He was given 100-fold of what he had lost, and Job raised up again. I am telling you, if you read Job 42 from verse 2, he says, I know you can do all things, and no plan of yours can be thwarted. Oh, let me prove to you that Job also raised up again after losing everything. The Bible says God raised Job again. Your life will raise up again. Your life will rise up again. Don't give up. Don't listen to those voices of destruction. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. When they tell you wouldn't make it, tell them, I have a court in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. If you read Job chapter 42, verse 10, the Bible says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again. Again. I want you to underline the word again. It means he was prosperous and he had fallen. But God made him prosperous again. And he gave him twice as much as he had before. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm speaking to somebody whose life has been shambles, whose life has been cry, his life has been sorry, his life has been tears. I want to tell you, whatever you lost, God is going to raise you again. God is going to make you prosperous again. He's going to give you twice of what you lost. I don't care what you've lost. It might be your spiritual life. It might be your property. It might be your finance. It might be your business. It might be your relationship. Oh, I'm talking about a loss. You lost something tangible. The way Job lost, but Job had hope in God. And he said, there is hope for a tree if it's cut. It will sprout up again. And in Job 42, verse 10, we see Job raising up again. Oh, I'm speaking to your life. May you raise up again. May your business rise up again. May your ministry rise up again. May your family rise up again. May your business, may all your life, may all your doings, everything that was lost, everything that had fallen, I'm speaking new life unto it. In Jesus' mighty name, I want to pray with somebody who has really given up. I want to say we have a God who is faithful. Just believe wherever you are, all my listeners. You might be having some difficult times. You might be going through some hard times. Maybe you have lost everything you had. You have lost even hope. You have lost faith. You have lost friends. You have lost business. You've lost everything. I want to tell you, God will make you prosperous again.
Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I want to say thank you for my listeners. You are God Almighty. I want to bless each and everyone. Father, I want to speak a new life unto their living. And I want to speak that they are going to prosper again. As you prospered Job, Father, you are going to change their life. You are going to prosper them in the mighty name of Jesus. You are going to give them top abortion of what they had lost. Father, I speak restoration of that job. I speak restoration of that family. I speak restoration of that health. I speak restoration of that marriage. I speak restoration of that business. In the mighty name of Jesus, to every listener, Father, let them receive double portion of what they had lost. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray and believe. Amen. God bless you. Meet you next time. Don't give up. You will rise up again. God bless you.